Today on Real Radio.
We are involved in an invisible war. Christians who are ignorant to this fact are the ones most duped in the war. But we are actually involved in a very, very dangerous and very bloody war in the spirit. And prayer has everything to do with it. And listen, one of the attacks of Satan in your life and in my life is to get you to think very low thoughts regarding prayer or to not pray at all.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through Paul's letter to the Ephesians. This is the final study of the series, a look at the closing verses of chapter 6. Starting with verse 18, Paul mentions what we might call the prayer principle, but in the context of warfare. Now, this study is quite arguably among the best treatments on prayer you may ever hear. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs in a presentation called Prayer for the Battle.
And there Paul says, Ephesians 6:10, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles or the trickery, schemes, the plots of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places," or in the heavenlies. Paul's talking about demonic sources. Invisible to us. Verse 13, "Therefore," or because that's true, "take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all of the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end, with all perseverance and supplication for the saints," or for all the saints, "and for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. But that you also may know my affairs and how I am doing. Tychicus, a beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, will make all things known to you, whom I have sent to you for this very purpose, that you may know our affairs, that he may comfort your hearts. Peace to the brethren, and love with faith from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all those who love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity." And Paul says here, amen. Prayer fit for the battle. We've got the soldier now. He's got his feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. He's got his shield of faith up. He's got his helmet of salvation on. He's got the belt of truth wrapping everything around and keeping it tight. And he's got the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. He is absolutely fit for battle. So now that he's standing, and having done all to stand, he is now standing. Therefore, Paul now really dawns upon him the crowning power that the Christian soldier is going to need to be victorious. And now that he's suited up and he's standing there, he falls to his knees in prayer before he goes out into battle. And it's almost a noble thing. Maybe you've seen, you know, a, very romantic type of knight in shining armor type movie, and there's this contemplation that's taking place before the battle, and all of the chivalry and the royalty and all of the pageantry that's involved in those medieval battles. There was so much at stake. They would do anything for the crown, and you know, long live the king, and they would go into battle, and they would sacrifice themselves because they believed so much in the kingdom. They believed so much in the realm. And it's quite amazing. In England, when you go to the Tower of London, which, you know, I'm thinking when I first showed up there, a tower in London, it must be a tower. It's a castle. It's a castle. And it is still an address of royalty. Some of the ladies in waiting live there. Some of the princes live there, and the princesses live there. And in the Tower of London, you take the tour of what is known around the world as the crown jewels. They're all there. And you take this tour, and to see all of the pageantry and the regalry of it all, and the cost and the wealth of gold and gems and diamonds, as you go into this one room, and there are crowns of incredible ornate beauty. Not just one crown of England, but the crown of England that was worn by the King of England when he related to matters concerning Africa, because it was owned and operated by the British Empire. And so he would put the crown that was dedicated to Africa on, and he would exercise his rule. And then when the next business came in before his presence, it might have been that of India. And England, Britain, governed over India. And so he would put the crown that was dedicated to the throne there over India. It was amazing to see these things. And to see the robe weighing 275 pounds woven with actual gold. And you're going, my goodness, what is it? It was for the king. It was all for the kingdom. And before those knights went out into battle, they actually spent their night in prayer before they went out to war. I find that interesting. Paul is telling us who are Christian soldiers tonight. Now that you've got all of the implements of warfare, and that the Lord himself, our King, has provided all the things necessary to win, we now go to prayer. Now, last week we saw the sword of the Spirit, which is our first implement, and it's really only an implement that the knight would have, would it be his sword. But for the Christian, it is the Word of God. But it's the offensive weapon. We saw that last week. It is the Word of God. But now, in an invisible sense, we see now this power that's through prayer. And we're going to talk about prayer tonight as we end the study of this great book. We are involved in an invisible war. Christians who are ignorant to this fact are the ones most duped in the war. But we are actually involved in a very, very dangerous and very bloody war in the spirit. And prayer has everything to do with it. And listen, one of the attacks of Satan in your life and in my life is to get you to think very low thoughts regarding prayer, or to not pray at all. Do not raise your hand. Don't raise your hand. But how many of you have been spending strong, powerful, fervent, difficult times in prayer? To those who are not, you are losing the spiritual battle. You are losing while you sit here. If you are not praying, and if you do not have that prayer life, or if you are not nurturing a prayer life, you're losing right now. Why? Because it is the prayer life of the believer that is literally the very thing that does power and does damage in this invisible war. Without prayer, you and I can have all of the implements of war and we'll lose. It's a guarantee. Satan will come along and take you in all of your armor. I have in my bathroom here at the office, there's a little cartoon someone cut out years ago and mailed it to me, and it shows the general, and he's talking to the troops, and he says, "All right, men, come on, let's go." And they start marching, and he's talking to them. And he's saying, be on your guard, because the enemy will use anything to get you off the path. And he's marching along, and he's marching all by himself, because this little cute girl goes walking by, and all the soldiers did an about face, and they're walking after the girl. And you might have all your armor on, like that cartoon, spears in hand and shield of faith up there, helmet of salvation on, and the enemy will shoot some fiery dart right into your life because you're not protected and shrouded in prayer, and you're not in communication with God, and you'll get garbled, or what you think are orders, Satan garbling your communication, tampering with your head, and you'll be led astray, and you can have all the armor on and not know how to use it. Why? Because you're not getting directions, you're not getting your briefing from your commander-in-chief through prayer. Very, very important. So let's look at this together. And we're going to get 4 points tonight, and we're going to ask you to look at the first one, which is in verse 18, and that is regarding to be or in being fit for the battle. We are going to see here in verse 18 that the Christian soldier has a plan of attack. We have a plan of attack that's been given to us by our commander-in-chief himself. Verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for the saints. So the Christian soldier has a plan of attack. And the first thing we see right here is that we are to be praying. Will you jot that down? The first thing that we need to do as Christian soldiers is to be praying. Question, are you praying? We are to be praying. Paul says, praying always with all prayer. That almost sounds redundant, but we'll explain it in a moment. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. This word praying in the Greek means to turn your face and to seek God as a physical action that is speaking of a spiritual activity. Remember reading in the Gospels when it says there that Jesus lifted up his eyes unto heaven and prayed? You can find Jesus praying in all kinds of styles, which I love. You probably don't want your children to hear this, but I often pray the most with my eyes open. I know around the table you're saying, now close your eyes. Johnny had his eyes open while we were praying. Well, how did you know? You know. Well, it's okay to pray with your eyes open. Sometimes we need to pray with our eyes closed because we're so easily distracted. I like to look up when I pray. I pray probably the most when I'm driving. No, I don't mean that as a joke. Oh, no, I'm being very serious right now. We're not talking about my driving technique now. There's just time. There's time there. And you'll pray. When he says praying always, that is that we're to be going to God at all times. It's not that every moment, you know, if I'm to be praying always, what do I do? Do I walk a few steps at work, bow my head in prayer, Lord lead and guide me, I open my eyes and keep going? Absolutely not. When he says praying always, that is to be in the attitude of prayer as you live your life. In other words, leave the phone or have the phone up to your ear or have the front door open and unlocked so he can come in and out as he pleases. That kind of prayer. Just being in communion and fellowship with the Lord. And I want to encourage you tonight, if prayer for you is something that's very liturgical, maybe you were raised in a very, very legalistic manner or a very structured manner, and you must bow your knee in prayer. Listen, that's wonderful and that's beautiful, but the truth of the matter is there are going to be times when you cannot bow your knee in prayer. And it could be while your pant leg is caught on the train track and the train is coming. What are you going to do? You're going to be trying to get out of there and also be praying. And we are to be in that attitude of prayer. Be talking to him. Now, how do you talk to him? When Paul says praying always with all prayer, it is this thing of spiritual communication. God is spirit. We know this. So when we talk to him, we're talking to him like you and I would talk to one another. It is a communication between the Lord and us. And it's common. When the disciples talked to Jesus, you can read all about it in the Gospels. How did they talk to him? Just as though they would talk to one another. That's how God wants us to pray. Isn't it funny that some people, though, might think, you know, I've got to pray a certain way. I got to use old King James English. That's nice if you know it, I guess, you know. But some people think, you know, maybe Jesus spoke in old English. You know, when the Lord said in the garden, "Where art thou?" Well, when we pray to him, we don't say, you know, "Thine that inhabitest thou the places of eternity from thence hence unfor of," you know, and God's going, what? No, pray to him like you talk and just speak with him. We don't want to be hypocritical when we come to the Lord in our praying always. We might talk to one another, then somebody bows their head in prayer and begins to pray, "Oh Lord, I thank you, and Father, and I..." Well, you don't talk to anybody else like that. Can you imagine talking to the waitress at the restaurant? "Thank you for this drink! Please give me another cup of water." What is this? No, talk to him. Just talk. You pray always with supplication, and you're praying in the Spirit. You're speaking to him. There's dialogue with him all day long, all night long. If you're up or if you work, whatever the case might be for you, we are to be praying. Why? It prepares us for the battle. How does it prepare us for the battle? Because it will always keep us on guard. He'll always be talking to us about what's coming next. When you're walking in the Spirit and when you're praying in the Spirit and you're in that attitude of having that relationship of prayer with him, the Lord is, during the course of your day, going to be leading you and guiding you and speaking to you. Maybe you have a great business decision to make, and because the doors open at, you know, 3:14 in the afternoon, the Lord gives you a bit of insight regarding the decision that must be made by 5 o'clock, and it's from the throne room itself the answer comes, and it's, "Lord, thank you." The door's open. God wants to have it that way with us all the time. But it's a great power. Prayer is power. It's the heavy artillery for the Christian soldier. If we have the sword, which is the Word of God, there's a great union. In fact, it's an undefeatable union that we can have if we just pick it up and use it. And that is the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God, coupled together with prayer. We are absolutely and shall always be undefeated if we have the sword of the Spirit and we operate through prayer. We will be undefeated as Christians. We won't make stupid decisions. We won't get ourselves into trouble. There'll be that communication with power. Now, prayer is not coming to God. This might come as a surprise to you. Prayer is not coming to God to tell him what you want. I better say that again. Prayer is not coming to God to tell him or inform him of what you want. A lot of people think that you just talk to God because you don't want something. Prayer is designed, and the purpose of prayer is to have that link of communication between us and God, listen, so that our will be brought under the control of his will. Prayer molds us to what he wants. If we are not praying, then you know whose will we're performing most often? Our own. Why? Because we're only consulting with one person, ourselves. And we get all of our input, all of our counsel from ourselves. And usually it's kind of slanted, have you noticed? In favor of you? In favor of me? When that communication is open, my will begins to be changed. Prayer does that. Prayer brings us into harmony with God, yes. But listen, prayer is spiritual. And that's what we're going to be talking about tonight, the spiritual power of prayer. It's amazing to me that right now, we're sitting here in the physical realm, but did you know right now there are angels in this room right now, guaranteed? How many of you know that you're saved and you're going to go to heaven? Put your hand up. You know, your Bible tells you in Matthew and in Hebrews that there are angels that have been dispatched to us who are the heirs of salvation. They're always with us. You know, we lovingly call them our guardian angels, but you know that is scriptural. And it also speaks in the scriptures how these angels represent our presence, our face before the Lord. And it seems to indicate that they have some serious responsibility concerning their custodial care over us. You're never alone. But isn't it amazing right now, amazing to me, that in this room are angels. We can't see them, but I could be passing my hand through one right now. And what's so amazing about them is there can be an angel right now in Beijing, and he can say, you know what, I'm going to drop in on the study in Chino Hills. They're wrapping up the book of Ephesians tonight. And he's here that fast. They move in the spirit realm so quickly. Don't think for a moment that angels are these little chubby fat angel things with stubby wings and a harp, you know. No, they're awesome, awesome beings. And they appear and they disappear as they will. Remember in the book of Job, when God, there has the sons of God, says the book of Job, which is a reference in the Old Testament to angels. The sons of God came and presented themselves before the Lord, and it says there that Lucifer, Satan, was among them. Why? Because he is an angel, and he's there. And God says to Satan, have you considered my servant Job? And that word consider is a very amazing word. Listen to this. The word consider means, it's a military term for a general when he surrounds the enemy. Once the general surrounds the enemy, he puts forth an encampment, and it implies that the general is looking over the enemy that he's about to attack, and he's learning at what place should he launch the attack. At what time, at what point, he's looking for a weak spot. That is the word that God used speaking about Job when Satan was standing in front of the Lord. The Lord says, have you considered my servant Job? And this is the frightening thing. Listen, Satan says to the Lord, yes, I have. Yes, I have been surrounding Job, and I have been looking for a place to get into him and to attack him. And he says, well, the Lord basically brags about Job and says, isn't he a wonderful servant of mine? And Satan says, well, you know what? Yeah, sure. He serves you because you bless him so much. Satan thought that Job was just serving God because he was enjoying all the goodies. And when the tide turns or when the weather goes bad, that he would turn on God. So what does God say? He gives Satan the permission, which, listen, anything that comes into your life must first be Father-filtered, no matter how horrible it may seem. It has to come through the Father first, which gives us a lot of hope.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a presentation called Prayer for the Battle. It's the final part of a mini-series taken from Ephesians 6 called Complete Christian Armor, which will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Remember, this series, Complete Christian Armor, is available in an 8-CD set. One of our main tasks here at Real Radio is to equip you with all that is necessary for your growth as a true believer. So here's our offer for your gift to the ongoing work of Real Radio of any amount. We'll be glad to send you this 8-CD package. Ask for it by name. Complete Christian Armor. To get in touch, call, click, or write. Our number is toll-free, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. Or visit us at realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org. Or you can send your contribution to Real Radio, Box 1273. Chino Hills, California, 91709. Of course, all of our contact information can be found at realradioactive.org. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.